Hey, you guys, we got to tell you about Brez Coffee Company.
Made by gamers, for gamers, right here on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida.
No matter what your taste in coffee are, they got you covered. You like light or medium roast? Try the Necro Medium, Holy Grail Light, or Stamina Boost. I like the ICAST Fireball mixed flavor, which is a fireball whiskey flavor.
If you like dark roast, like I do, then try the Critical Dark or the Coup Slayer Mocha Roast.
Can't decide what you need for those all-night gaming sessions? Why don't you try one of their specialty sample packs?
All roasts are made with fair trade Colombian beans.
So stop buying that crappy coffee from the grocery store and head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com. That's BrezCoffeeCo.com and enter the code NCR at checkout for 10% off your order. Amazing! Do you like the show and you want to help support us? Do you want extra episodes every month? Do you want ad-free versions of the show? Then you should sign up over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, and you'll get your very own RSS feed to put into whatever your podcatcher of choice is, and you'll be first in line for all extra content. So head on over and become a Patreon supporter of this very show. Greetings, programs, and we are back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is not Derek Diamond.
It is not. It is Mr. Wally Phelps.
Hello.
So Wally is our official fact checker here for the Nerd Cave Retro Show. And summertime is the time when Mr. Derek Diamond has a lot of work to do with the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, so we have special guests come in and fill in for him. And this week we have Mr. Wiley Phelps, and he will be doing our review for this evening.
Yes, I will.
Yes. So how's your week been?
It's a game that I just saw, so yeah. It's going to be great. My week's been pretty, okay, I guess. I'm not feeling great.
Oh, that sucks.
But I've actually been writing more than I was, getting some Fortnite done like I have been, and playing the Switch for the first time in months.
Really? What you been playing on the Switch other than what we're reviewing tonight?
Just what we're reviewing. That's literally the reason I turned it on.
So just a lot of Fortnite,
way to find a retro game.
A lot of Fortnite and a lot of writing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good week to me.
A lot of it has to do. Right. And, it's the project where I'm writing you and your co-host from Open Micers in the whole, it's in the seedy underbelly of the South Mississippi crime world.
Yeah, which we have an abundance of here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
We actually do. We just,
we're not part of
it. Stay away from it.
Yeah.
We're not, no. But I've known people who are in it.
Yeah. I actually have, want to get back to, I've been thinking a lot about getting back to a writing project I started a couple of years ago and then abandoned, which was
You were going to say, I wanted to get back into the family business of crime.
me and my family, the crime business that we started years ago. No, I have.
What kind of business is it? The business of crime.
Yeah. like the Batman world. Like, what kind of crime do you do? Crime. It's just crime. Nothing specific. It's just crime.
No.
Rampage.
Why have to be specific?
Rampage is in the chat room.
As joined us.
But yeah, my writing project is kind of autobiographical from my time in fall as well and being on tour and all that stuff. So it's just sitting there waiting on me to return to it and finish it. So I think I'm going to do that here in the next.
Well, I've got months. So many finished projects as far as writing is concerned that are just sitting there doing nothing.
You have finished projects. I have dozens of unfinished projects that I start and then never finish because I'm not a finisher.
Well, good night, everybody.
Hello, nurse.
Hello, nurse.
Yeah, we won't go into that. But yeah, I have a lot of projects that I've started and then abandoned because I'm, you know, have adult deficit disorder, attention deficit disorder. So yeah, it's just how it rolls. And then eventually I roll back to it and finish it at some point. So I plan on doing that. As far as my
exciting
video game time goes, I finished BioShock Remastered.
Very nice.
Finished it over the weekend. I still stand by my review last week, my score of 10 out of 10. That game is so damn good, still holds up, and I highly recommend it if you've never played it. It is available right now on PS Now, and if you don't have PS Now, it's still relatively cheap. Where if you want to go to GameStop, or wherever. Yeah, you could probably get the twofer that were the BioShock 1 and 2 remastered and on the same disc.
I have them because they were free on PlayStation Plus forever ago. And they're... I don't know if I have them on my hard drive or not, but I know I got them.
Yeah. Still a great game. I don't think I played anything else other than that. Just that. just trying to finish that.
I mean, I'm hoping. Oh, I forgot. I jumped into Call of Duty Black Ops 4 also.
I remember again. You did that. How was that?
Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Like, you know, it's like going from Disney World to a Six Flags. It's the game is so sluggish and ugly and slow and it's... And I told Rampage this while we were playing, that it felt like high-stakes hide-and-seek because whoever sees the other one first is who dies. And there's no strategy to it other than hope your aim is good.
Okay, you know? So I'm sure Rampage is talking about you in the chat room. He says, somebody said they were going to do Fortnite in July, and here we are mid-month. So, Wally, you need to jump back in there in the Fortnite because...
I am in the Fortnite. You said it.
I know. I will. I promise. I got to find an hour or two to myself with no work to do or anything so I can actually play the game.
Says the man who just finished a 20-hour game.
I couldn't help it.
He's already played before.
Well, it was there, and it looked fun, and I knew I liked the game. And my time in Fortnite has been, I could take it or leave it. But I knew that I liked BioShock, and I wanted to go back and play it again, so I did, so there. And now that it's done, I will have time to play Fortnite.
Somebody threw a damn shark at me in Fortnite the other day.
Who throws a shark? Seriously.
Honestly.
That's
I mean, I'm
funny.
Minding my own business, fishing. Yes, that's what I was doing. And then I hear a spaceship behind me, and I turn around just in time to see a shark hit me in the face.
That is fantastic. Please tell me this is recorded somewhere.
It is. I've got to upload it.
Please do. I have to see this.
So I didn't record the part about me fishing because, you know, it's like I stopped, and I'm like, what? What is it? I hear him somewhere. I turn around. Ah! Yeah.
Well, I got my new controller a couple weeks ago. My 8-bit do that I want to try out with.
Oh, nice!
With Fortnite, so I want to do that. And my Super Nintendo USB controller, UBS, whatever the hell that means, USB controller crapped out. So. Angelina, my girlfriend, got me a new Hyperkin USB SNES controller, and it works very well. So I'm going to actually, for the Patreon, they picked Lost Vikings for me to review next, my next review. So ooh, I will be streaming now that I have a good controller.
Very nice. Very nice.
So what were you showing me with your controller there?
Oh no, this is I just got this because I thought it looked a little bit like Mario suspenders.
I like it.
It's got the little stickers on it and everything that you got. Nice. They came from the Mario 3D All-Stars pre-ordered it. So
That's cool.
It's very nice.
Nice. Yeah, I love controllers and I'm
right.
I like collecting them for some reason.
Like I've got 11 of them sitting over there. I have an Xbox controller, a PlayStation controller, a PlayStation 4, 5, the Switch controller, and the Stadia controller. We're all sitting over there, and I'm like, wow,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Thing, I have a Legend of Zelda Switch Pro controller, which I love. I love the Pro controllers, but I use the USB controllers. Because I don't want to have to worry about charging it and all that stuff. So, and plus, right. I sit close to it anyway. But that's the reason I got the 8-bit do, however you say it, because I am horrible on the Switch Pro controllers. I've gone through like probably 5 of them in the life of my Switch.
Oh my God.
I don't know what it is. I guess I'm just rough on them. Like they only last me about 3 months and then they break.
Are they? Well, I mean, I've played with my little girls, and because she'll hand me the controller and be like, "Play with me," and and they feel cheap. To be honest, they feel like they're made out of plastic. And,
well, I mean, they are.
Well, they are made out of plastic. I mean, like, you know what I mean? It's like cheap. It reminds me of a Mad Catz controller every time I play with one.
Yeah, a little bit. But they feel comfortable, though. I mean, they're a comfortable controller, but yeah, they're...
Well, that's because they're almost exactly like the Xbox controller.
Yeah, well, that's why I like it. The Xbox controller... Yeah. The Xbox 360 controller is still one of my... Next to the GameCube are the two best controllers ever made for video gaming.
I'm really into the PlayStation 5 controller. I mean, I don't like the 4. I mean, I'm just going to say it. It's the 4 hurts your hand and
it
sucks.
It does. Plus,
the
it only
5,
has,
though?
It has the battery life of, I don't know. Like, it's the worst battery life ever.
Well, the PlayStation 5 has worse battery life if you're playing a PlayStation 5 game. Because it does more. That's hard to explain to people who haven't tried it, but the damn thing does things that are shocking when it happens. Like, holy shit, I can feel the rain hitting my controller.
That's cool.
Yeah, shit like that. It's like whenever, you know, I can feel the tension of the webbing, it's ridiculous. It's fun though.
Well, I'm eventually going to get one, but it's going to be a while.
Xbox was talking with one of the, I think it was Phil Spencer of Xbox was talking about how they were thinking about implementing those types of feedback in the controller, so that we'll see what happens.
Well, the Xbox is quite, it's really pulling me towards it this generation instead of a PS5. So
yeah, and I can the thing with that is that I know that that's probably the best for you because you are cheap. And you play old games.
Yes.
And both of those things are 100% what you would need an Xbox for.
You're not wrong. I'm not going to dispute your assessment of me because you are 100% correct. I do not buy new games. I just don't. I mean, I do occasionally if it's something I really, really want. Like I was there day one for Resident Evil 2 remake. Yeah. Things like that, but
well, but that's the thing. These are remakes that you're buying. I mean, it's like you're gonna see.
I'm officially that old man. Like, I don't want nothing new. Just
right.
give me the old
I
stuff
like
over.
What's comfortable and what I know I like.
New stuff scares me.
Like you're gonna get the new Halo, and that's the only new game you're gonna buy. And
yeah,
it's gonna be
that's
a year after it came
that's
out.
That's what I want an Xbox for. I want to play the new Halo.
That remaster. Yeah, I'm waiting for Halo Infinite as well.
Yeah, Rampage is right. I do the same thing. I wait until they're like $20 at GameStop, or find them in a pawn shop, or things like that. You know, I like to go. I like to do the three. Wait for games to be like they do the sale at GameStop, the 3 for $15. that they do occasionally, and I'll go pick up like three games I've never played. I know I'm the problem in the gaming industry because I don't support developers by buying games new, but then again,
you're not anyway because you're buying them 30 years after they come out.
Exactly.
And
I'm not your demographic, man.
Well, I mean, I don't either. I don't buy games new normally. The only reason I did this time around was because I wanted games to play on my PlayStation. And it's just all the games that I have for my PlayStation were free. Yeah. You know, that's really the thing.
All the ones on mine, my PlayStation 4, everything that's loaded on the PlayStation 4, most of, like, over half of them were either PlayStation Now or, PlayStation, what is it?
Plus?
Yeah, PlayStation Plus. That's so weird. Why is that two different things? That's so weird.
It's kind of like Xbox and the Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, it's two different things. Weird. So weird.
But they're getting rid of Xbox Live. The name Xbox Live anyway.
Yeah.
They're just gonna call it Game Pass.
Just keep it all under one moniker. I'm getting too old to remember all your different things.
Right. You're turning into that. Into the Karen going into GameStop looking for little Bobby Grand Theft Auto.
That's right. But you want to go ahead and go into the news for this evening? Got some news to talk about.
Let's do it.
All right, who sent this one in? From I Am the Rampage, who is in the chat room right now. Rampage. This is from GameRant.com. Super Mario movie affected by new Universal exclusive streaming deal. With all the streaming services out there, it's hard to limit yourself to just a few, with each platform offering exclusive and original content. Peacock, a new competitor to Netflix and Disney Plus, is getting one of their first exclusive deals, boosting their threat to larger streaming platforms. Peacock, owned by NBC Universal, recently signed a deal with Universal Studios that will impact films like the upcoming Super Mario movie. Beginning in 2022, all new films coming out under Universal Studios, DreamWorks, and Illumination will be exclusive to Peacock after their initial theatrical release. This new decision will affect how people can view many anticipated films coming out under Universal next year. Among these are Minions, Super Mario Brothers, being made by Illumination, and the new Jurassic World film, and there is a sequel to Puss in Boots coming as well. So what do you think about this? It doesn't really bother me because
it's Universal.
Yeah.
I mean, I expected this. Yeah. In fact, I thought this already happened.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's just another one of those things like, well, not all the Universal movies aren't going to be on Netflix now. So you have to go get Peacock, but it's kind of weird because like, I think Netflix is in a weird position right now where the thing that made them dominant is now the thing that's bringing them down because they're not going to have any of this content anymore because all these studios are making their own apps and streaming services now. So Netflix is going to have to heavily rely on original content, but do they have enough to keep the number of people that are subscribed now?
And not even just that, they do have smaller companies, but at the same time, there are all these deals. Like Sony is going to be on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the biggest things that separate Netflix from the rest of them is the fact that they have all of these originals that people love, like the Stranger Things. And, you know, but at a certain point, when does it become a losing proposition,
Well, the thing that really, I think, made Netflix the juggernaut that it is was they had all the TV shows that you could binge. The bingeable shows. You had The Office was on there forever. You know,
and now it's on Peacock.
Yeah, Seinfeld was on there forever, and now that's going to Hulu, and now that's leaving Hulu to go, I think, to Peacock, right?
I think so.
And, you know, you had Cheers on Netflix. I think that's going away. at some point, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, they had all those shows that people like to binge that aren't on there anymore.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's going to be a weird... I think in the next 5 years, Netflix is going to be not quite the juggernaut that it once was. I think it's going to be...
I don't know.
It's still going to be there. Don't get me wrong, but they're going to have to rely a lot more on original content.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are starting to understand that, and we hate this, but they're going to have multiple streaming services to have the content that they want. Yeah. Because when Tiger King 2 comes out, that is a Netflix original.
Well, Netflix is also getting into the gaming industry, too. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's... Mm-hmm.
No idea.
That's going to be something... I mean... We'll see. I don't know if it's going to be original content or if they're going to have... I just don't know. Like, how does this even work?
Right. Well, and that's what we were doing whenever Netflix streaming first started. It was like, how does this work?
Yeah.
Is this going to kill my data cap?
Yeah, exactly.
Why does it look like crap on my TV?
I don't know.
It takes 30 seconds for it to start. What's happening here?
Yeah, this next one's yours, and it is a weird story.
So, yeah, Super Mario 64. Oh crap! Hold on, advertisement popped up.
This one's from our good friend Tyler Watson, friend of the show.
Yes, and Rolling Stone magazine is what the link is from, which has like 30 flipping ads.
Really? I don't have any.
Okay, Pristine Super Mario 64 breaks video game auction record with $1.56 million. A sealed copy of 1996 game quickly shatters Rare Legend of Zelda 2-day. It's doing it again. What is happening here?
I don't know. I'm not getting any ads.
How is this possible? How am I getting... Oh, my God.
You want me to read it?
Oh, it's because Microsoft is trying to recommend other things while I'm reading the damn thing.
Well, that's why you shouldn't have Windows products.
Outrage. Okay. Less than 2 days after a rare sealed copy of The Legend of Zelda broke the record for most expensive video game sold at auction, a pristine, unopened copy of Super Mario 64 toppled that record Sunday, with a $1.5 million high bid. The sealed copy of the 1996 video game was notable for receiving a 9.8 A++ WADA grading, the highest possible rating. Well, we're a bit speechless on this one. Heritage Auctions wrote of the item. What can we even say that would do this copy the justice it deserves? The cultural significance of this title and its importance to the history of video games is paramount, and the condition of this copy is just so breathtaking that we're really at a loss here. If you have had your heart set, if you have had your heart set on obtaining the highest graded copy of the single best-selling video game on the N64, the first 3D adventure of Nintendo's mascot Mario, we only have one piece of advice. This is not an opportunity to waste. And I am happy to say that I am the proud owner. No, I'm kidding. On Friday, a sealed copy of The Legend of Zelda, one of the earliest known produced variants of the beloved Nintendo game, first shattered the record for most expensive video game when it sold at auction for $870,000. And the rest of it is just them talking about what all this means.
This is so dumb.
Especially since I just bought a copy of the same game for $60.
Dude, I guarantee you, you can go to our local retro game shop, the Play and Talk. I guarantee you they have a sealed copy, if not a near mint inbox copy of Super Mario Brothers 64.
Is it 9.8?
Super Mario 64. But still, $1.5 million for this? This is not the only copy of this in the world. There's probably more sealed copies of this game that are a 9.8 just from forgotten shipment boxes, you know, in some Best Buy warehouse somewhere, or right. you know, Target or Walmart, that have there's probably hundreds of these out right. there in the wild. Why would you pay $1.6 million for this?
It's not a particularly rare game. No.
It's not. It's not. It's not rare at all. I mean, even with The Legend of Zelda going for almost, like, what, $800,000?
Right.
What are you doing?
It's like that meme with the preacher that's going, wah!
Yeah.
Wah! Wah!
I mean, it's... Even the last couple of years, you know, when I go to retro game shops or... I go to the same flea market a lot, and there is a retro game shop in, you know, in there, and he's had the same games in there for years now. And he's got like two copies of, you know, the gold cart, you know, Legend of Zelda. And he's since like 2015, there's been like a $60 price tag on there. Wow. I'm like, you're never going to sell these. You know why?
Right.
Because there were millions of these sold.
Wow.
This isn't even the rare one. If you want to get a rare one, you get the gray cart, which was the, you know, the one that came out, what, in like 1990? Like way later in the life of the NES. And even the actual rare games for the Nintendo, or, you know, the Nintendo game, like Stadium Events, which is, I think, that and Nintendo World Championship. I think Nintendo World Championship is the actual most rare NES game. The gold.
I want to say it's the gray cart.
No, I think it was the gold cart, because the gold ones were the ones that actually they gave out in a contest. For the Nintendo
I thought the
Power.
Gray ones were the contest ones.
The gray ones were the ones used in the actual Nintendo World Championship.
I see. Okay.
So everybody
okay.
that
so I was backwards.
Yeah, everybody that competed actually got one to take with them. So there are more. There's actually a, I think what, like six, maybe a couple, maybe 100 or so known in existence. But the
oh,
actual,
far less than that.
Yeah. Good night, Rampage. I'm glad you could stop by.
It was fun playing Fortnite earlier with you. It just won't do it.
But yeah, the Nintendo World Championship, the gold cart, there was only like 25 of those given out
right.
through Nintendo Power. So those go for, I think the last one sold for around $80,000. And that's understandable. Wow. That's that sounds
about a whole
bunch
of them.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because even though there were only 25 or 30 given out, I think maybe 14 of them are accounted for. And
I don't understand this at all, to be frank, because when I saw the Zelda news, I'm like, you can't play it. Why are you buying them? If it's just a display piece, I mean,
well, even
I don't
still
get it.
What you want is a complete inbox, still shrink wrapped, original shrink wrapping. I can understand that those going for, you know, 40, 50 grand maybe, because, you know, with the hang tab still on it, you know, like it's never been open. That I can understand spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on that. $1.5 million for a Super Mario 64 sealed, when there is probably hundreds of those, if not thousands,
right.
floating out there in the wild. Like, that's just... That's somebody that has too much money and not enough brains, is what happened.
And for those of you listening to the audio version of this, you should see the passion in Jason's eyes.
Because this is stupid, because it's going to push up the price, which it already has been happening the past couple of years.
Right.
It's impossible to find, you know, Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, even Genesis games, like that era of gaming. It's impossible to find that stuff in the wild now. And when you do, people think they have gold on their hands. You know, you see, like I said, copies of Legend of Zelda, the gold cart, going for like 60, 70 bucks, people asking for it. And it's like, it's not worth this. It's worth 10, 20 bucks at most, because there were millions of those put out into the world. So I don't know. This is, and it's just going to make things get worse. It's just going to get worse before... there's an eventual crash that's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And I don't know. A lot of people are going to be a lot of people. Some there's a few people that are going to make a lot of money, and a lot of people who are going to lose a lot of money because they're going to try thinking they have something gold, and they're going to spend a lot of money on it, and then turn around. Guess what? There's still a bunch of those out there.
Like, I have a copy of Balloon Fight sealed in the box.
Yeah.
With the shrink wrap on top of it. I would like $2 million, please. Yeah.
this next story comes from Armez Jackson. This is from NintendoEnthusiast.com. Toon Fight, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl announced coming this fall. Hold on, let me scroll down a little bit. Let's see. While the music used is certainly an acquired taste, the footage of the actual game looks promising, which there is a, you can see like a official trailer here. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl will feature characters from a wide array of Nickelodeon shows. These include Ren and Stimpy, Hey Arnold, Invader Zim, SpongeBob SquarePants, and more. IGN has verified 20 stages, both single and multiplayer modes, bonus content, and local and online play for up to 4 players. So this is sort of a like a Smash Brothers kind of game. But here are some of the confirmed characters in the roster so far. You got Michelangelo and Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You have Nigel Thornberry, Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy. SpongeBob, SpongeBob, Sandy, and Patrick Starr from SpongeBob SquarePants. Helga from Hey Arnold, Reptar from Rugrats, Zim from Invader Zim, and Danny Phantom. I want to play this just so I can play Powdered Toast Man.
If Gurr is not in this game, I riot.
I want to play like Ren and Stimpy.
It's like, if there is an intruder at the door, come on in!
This looks kind of fun. I don't know if I'll drop 60 or 70 bucks on this, but if somebody has this, I'll play it. What do you think?
I mean, when it's free for PlayStation Plus, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, maybe it'll be. That's how I'll play it.
Not my cup of tea, really.
I mean, it looks fun, but it looks like the kind of fun you'd have for like 20 minutes, and then the novelty will wear off, and you'll be like, ah, I'm done.
I mean, I feel the same way. It's just, you know, I didn't play the actual Super Smash Brothers, so I don't know why I would play this. I mean, aside from the fact that the Ninja Turtles are in it. But the Ninja Turtles are also in Mortal Kombat, so I don't see what the...
I think I skipped the story, so you did the one I skipped.
The one that I didn't have up? Okay.
My bad.
So this is also from Armez Jackson, I believe. From Nintendo Everything, Aburimo Tengu and Zombie Nation announced for Switch. City Connection has announced Aburimo Tengu and Zombie Nation, a revival of two titles from the Famicom NES era. A release is planned for October 28th. The way this is written is very unwieldy.
Yeah.
Below are the first details and announcement trailer. The physical version of this title for Nintendo Switch is now available in limited quantities as the Exciting Box. It includes a soundtrack CD with new songs and arrangements by Aburimo Tengu director and sound composer Norio Nakagata. A setting document book with treasured artwork and interviews with the developers, and an alternate jacket sheet that can be changed for the Munin edition. The artwork was drawn by the original designer, Satoshi Okano. You can listen to it and go wild, read it and go wild. I'm not reading the rest of it, but it's...
I'm glad I made you read this because there was no way in hell I could pronounce any of that stuff.
Well, I mean, I've actually been studying Japanese for the last week.
Really?
But yeah.
You're going to Japan?
No. But
I don't remember these games at all for the Nintendo.
I don't think they ever came out. in the
I don't think so either.
West, because they're all in kanji.
Yeah.
And Ikusaitengu is a Japanese word, so it's
yeah, but Zombie Nation. I mean that.
Oh, this is even in Japan. This isn't even here, because the cityconnection.co.jp is the website. So this is a Japanese release.
Oh, well, all right then.
Well, the Switch is not region locked.
No,
so I mean, you can still get it. Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, if you heard of this back in the day, then yeah, go get yourself a copy.
It doesn't say whether or not there's going to be a translated edition, because some games do have two editions.
Yeah.
And that are built into the game. But yeah.
Awesome. This last story is also from Armez Jackson. I agree to your cookies, Nintendo Life. It's like a Contra game on acid. Weapon of Choice DX runs and guns onto Switch this fall. Indie developer Mommy's Best Games has revealed that Weapon of Choice DX will be blasting onto the Nintendo Switch eShop the 2nd of September. The upcoming re-release looks set to improve upon the original Xbox Live indie game of the same name, with new difficulty, rebalancing, a new widescreen layout, and higher resolution visuals. The game is a side-scrolling run-and-gun title that features a selection of unique playable characters, all of whom come with their own special weapons. I don't remember this game. Did you ever play this for Xbox Live?
No, I never played it. I was just familiar with it because, you know, that I believe it was released at about the same time that I was covering Xbox for the Married Gamers.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as this is concerned, I never played it, but I was familiar.
It says rock out to original music with a heavy metal guitar soundtrack. Awesome. Metal. Well, that's it for the news this evening. And before we go into, we usually go into this month of video game history, but I'm going to save that for when Derek comes back. So I'm going to go straight into the shout outs before we go into the review. And, of course, these are our Patreon supporters, and we love every single one of you guys because you keep all the lights you. On. Say again?
I said all of you.
Yes, all of you. I want to shout out AxeBlade07, who was responsible for me having PS Now. So thank you to him.
Oh, and very nice.
We had Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, and Daniel Salmon is also who created our Discord. Is our moderator over there, an administrator. So he's doing an awesome job with that. If you'd like to join our Discord, just go over to our Twitter at NerdCaveRetro in the very top right there. Click the link at the very top. That'll take you to our Discord. Let's see. John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster. I think I said him already. Han Solo. Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I Am the Rampage. Staff Sergeant Sketch Rampage. Tyler Watson, the fact checker to the fact checker. Mr. Brandon Rutledge, Gus and Penny, and of course, Matthew Salmon. Thank you to each and every one of you for keeping the show afloat. And if you keep us above the $50 level, every single month we will do our commentary tracks for you guys every single month. And if you get us back...
That's the highlight of my month. So please keep the lights on there.
And like I said before, if you get us to $100... then we'll start doing them where you can actually listen to us in our very own Discord channel. You can watch along and listen while we commentate on the movies and television shows.
Yeah.
So if you want that to happen, go tell a friend, listen to our show, and support us over on Patreon. Just as little as a dollar a month. You can get all of that stuff. The commentary tracks, you get to do our Patreon polls, all that cool stuff over there at patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro. And tonight, Wally is going to be talking about that's some Sean T music right there.
I wish I could hear it.
Sounds like a, I know, because it sounds like a weird game show.
It feels like a weird game show. But just to read it over, it's Magical Drop 2. It is the second installment of the Magical Drop series, released in 1996. The arcade version was developed by SNK's Neo Geo hardware, as opposed to Data East's proprietary MLC system that the first game was developed for. It includes a variety of gameplay changes as well as new characters. Now, I never played the original Magical Drop, did you?
No, I never even heard of Magical Drop until you said you were going to review it this week.
Well, it's interesting because I didn't know until I read this is that it was originally released for the Neo Geo, but there was an unreleased Super Famicom version. And essentially, that's what I played.
So is it looks basically, the screenshots I've seen, is it looks just like Bust a Move.
It's very similar, yes. I mean, it's similar to basically every mobile game that's out there.
Okay.
The way it works is there's different colored bubbles, and you pull down the bubbles and you throw them back up to match three in a row. Mm. And
so it's one of those games.
That color that's touching, yeah, it disappears, and then it just keeps on going until either you clear the board or it crushes you under the weight of existence. And
much like my everyday life.
Right. I didn't know that it was a puzzle game when I chose it, but I saw it and I'm like, that sounds interesting. Hmm. And it wasn't. It was, it's not too different from most games that you would find in any app store. But there are a couple of different modes that you can play. There was a, there's a play by yourself mode, self play, I think they called it.
Hey now.
Right. And you play it and, you know, it's just you trying to keep going. And I played under the medium setting for the entire time. I never got over level 28. And because it's just ridiculous. I don't understand how you could do any better than level 28, because it just kept on happening over and over again where it would be, I mean, I felt like I was going crazy because it wasn't getting any better. I'm like, so me and my little girl was sitting on the couch just passing the switch back and forth trying to beat each other's level, and neither one of us got any further than that. And but there is a story mode. I have no idea what the story is.
Because it's all in Japanese.
And I played the game. Well, no, it's not in Japanese, but the translation is just so basic. They have the translation here. Okay. So World versus Star. Like, here is the Japanese translation. Oh, to be young again, but I do look rather fetching for my age, I think. And then Star, she's like talking to herself. Lame. Now, here's the thing. In this version, the oh, to be young again part turns to no holding back. And the she's talking to herself as you're no match for me. So they basically dumbed it down a lot. It's so horrible.
So what is this, like some weird little RPG type of thing?
It wants to be, but it's not. There's no story whatsoever. It's just random. You know how at the beginning of a fight in a fighting game, mm-hmm. they'll just do like a random bit of dialogue? Like, yeah. Spirits have told me I'm going to win. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just like they say that at the beginning of every match. And I chose to be the jester because he was holding a cat that has a snotty nose, and he also has a snotty nose. So I was like, well, that's pretty funny. And it's just, and you go through literally like a fighting game where you just go to everybody's stage and you're playing against them. And I didn't get past the knight character, and because I don't understand how you can be good enough to do anything here.
So is this something you paid for on the Switch, or is it available for free?
It belongs in a museum, but it's in
museum
the,
dad.
It's in the Super Nintendo games in the.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so it's free. You can play it right now if you wanted to.
This must have been a new edition, because I don't think I've seen this.
Right, it's brand. It's like the next to last one on the list.
Oh.
And I found it when I was looking for something to review. I was like, well, what's good here that I can? And I wanted to choose something I had never heard of before. That was my goal. I'm like,
you definitely picked something neither of us have heard of before.
Right. And it's now I do have to say I did play this game for like 3 hours. I mean, nonstop. I took it to the bathroom with me. It was
Remind me never to touch your Switch.
I wiped my ass with it, so I That's but no, the thing about it is that it is so addictive. Even though I wasn't getting any better at it, I kept that thing in my brain that I'm broken with, where it's like, maybe one more game and I'll get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good at this. I know I am.
Well, that's why I like playing Bust a Move. It's because it's so freaking addictive.
Like, yeah, that's exactly gameplay. How this is. It reminds me a lot of the two-player of it, because me and Savannah did play two-player, is a lot like Dr. Mario, where you're basically going up against each other. And that's a lot of fun also. I as much as I hate this game, I love it. I want to have its babies.
Okay, then.
It's bizarre. There's not a whole lot to talk about, really. I mean, the characters are whimsical. Nothing seems connected. It just seems random as hell.
Yeah.
It really does. Because when you're playing it, and it tries to give you, like, pointers at the end of the game. Like, try to go faster next time. Well, F you. I know.
I don't know. I just feel like if I'm going to play this type of game mechanic, I'm just going to play Bust a Move, because that seems to be the gold standard for this type of gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
And I don't need any stupid story to go with it. I just need, you know, the Bubble Bobble kids, little dinosaur kids, doing the little crank and shooting down the bubbles. That's all I need.
Well, the good news is, you will hardly notice the story. Honestly, no, I take that back. You will notice it because of how bizarre it seems.
Yeah.
Like, nothing seems connected.
Well, looking at the game art, like, I was trying so hard to find game art for this game to put
for the artwork of the episode. In the menu, there's not even game art.
Yeah, all I have is the start menu.
The start screen. Yeah, the start screen is the art that you see.
But the art for the game is actually for the Neo Geo, for the SNK.
Right.
It's
because
weird.
That was released in 1996.
It's weird looking. Like, if I saw this, I would be like, I'm not playing that. I don't know what this is. There's like a...
Well, but this is a Japanese SNK game.
There's a girl with pink hair and like three eyes. And there's like
I don't even know. Oh my God. The opening sequence is so bizarre, because it's like, it's a nude woman that is covered in ribbon, slowly ascending from the heavens. And I'm sitting there on my controller going, what did I press start on?
Behold!
Behold! But at the same time, like I said, it doesn't seem like it's related to anything, because you press start and now it's all these little fat, little cartoony characters that are say, you know, I'm going to win, you know, that kind of thing.
But just looking at this game art, there's nothing about this Neo Geo game art that gives you any inclination of what the game is. Like, if I was to look at this, I would think this was some kind of weird Japanese RPG. Like, that's right. What it looks like.
I mean, and that's real. And honestly, I think that's what they wanted to do. I think that they wanted to take this puzzle game. I think they were a little bit ahead of their time because, you know, there's Puzzle Fighter and there are those games on the app stores nowadays.
I really like that's one of my favorite, just kind of turn your brain off and play. Like, you know,
that's
basically
what
this is. I like playing things like Puzzle Quest and things like that. But this,
but I think this is a very early attempt at it. And
just seems so out there.
It is. I mean, I really believe that if they had more time to translate it, it would have been better. And there's a reason why this game wasn't released. It feels unfinished.
Yeah.
Because it feels like I'm in Japan playing this game, which is honestly not a negative. That's not a knock against the game. The fact that I've been immersing myself in Japanese culture and things like that over the last few weeks may have painted this game in a more positive light than I would normally have done, because I'm like, you know, oh, look at this. This is a Japanese something or other, you know. And
now when you say you're immersing yourself in Japanese culture, you're just watching hentai, right?
I knew that was coming. That's what she said. But no, I've been watching a lot of videos about Japan and how to learn Japanese and,
you know what I like,
Japanese
doing?
Culture.
Have you ever seen the walkthroughs on YouTube where people will just take like a HD camera and do like just walk through the streets of like Tokyo? And places around the world. That's awesome. I love those.
Yeah, I love it. And honestly, another thing is I want to go to Tokyo Disneyland at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, because Tokyo Disney Sea is there, and that is a gorgeous park. And I would love to go and just, I would like to be able to walk, number one. But I would love to be able to walk around there, and that would be nice. I also feel like I need to lose a lot of weight because Japanese people don't like fat people. But
start eating rice. Just nothing but rice.
Man, I've been eating nothing but rice for a long time, and this is what happens. But but
rice, sushi, this, noodles.
Damn it, that's what I've been eating. Man, when I'm watching these things, they go to these different restaurants. I know we're way off topic here, but they'll go to these different restaurants with things like horse sashimi, and I'm like, what? That actually looks good?
I'm not eating horse sashimi. Not going to do it.
It's like, well, if nobody told me that's what it was, I would totally eat it. But I'm so hungry I could eat horse sashimi. I don't know why I think that's so funny. But back to what I was saying. Me watching all these videos and things like that, I think that's a lot of the reason why I really enjoyed the quirkiness of this game, because it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
which is how I feel when watching a lot of anime.
Right. Well, yeah.
Because I've tried to watch anime, and I don't see what people see in it. Like, I know people
I get it. I understand the artistry behind it.
I love the art. I love the animation. But
gorgeous.
Some of that stuff is just so out there, and I don't know what's happening ever.
Like, why are you making such a big production out of making pork rolls? You know, just that type of thing just kind of makes me wonder. But at the same time, I get it. I mean, it's beautiful and it makes me hungry, and same with the hentai, and it's
I want some octopus.
Delicious.
Delicious.
I know it's a Korean movie, but you said that. I'm thinking about that scene in Old Boy where he eats the octopus raw, is like wrapping itself around his arm. Oof. Never mind. I don't want to eat anymore. Now I'm not hungry. Jesus. But long story short, the game is it's worth your time to sit down and play it. And just to see, it's fun to play. The game mechanics are fun, and I think people would get a kick out of just the randomness of everything. Like seriously, just start the game and watch the title screen, because just that makes you go, "What am I about to play?" And then it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? So, Magical Drop 2, if I had to give it a rating, what do you guys go up to?
10.
Okay. If I had to give it a rating, I would give it a solid 6.
Yeah, 6. Good mid-level game. Not terrible, not great, just right. Kind of right there in the middle.
I wouldn't say it's kind of a mediocre at best. I want to give it a high enough where you will play it. But I also don't think it deserves any higher than that, because there are way better puzzle games for your time. But you really need to play this game, even just once, to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think if you're going to go for a modern kind of puzzle battler game, you know, play Gems of War, which is on the Switch for free. And yeah, there's in-game purchases, but I've been playing that game for like 3 years now, and I've yet to buy a single thing in that game with real money. Wow. And it's fun. It's really great. And I recommend that. But I'll go try this out just to see kind of the very beginnings of that genre.
It's very interesting. And I think everybody should... From a historical perspective, considering the fact that it was never released until now, I think it's very interesting to see, hey, here's something that we couldn't play on the SNES, but we may have been able to
in a different timeline. Probably the reason they didn't is because Data East made Bust a Move, you know, because of Bubble. Bobble and Bust a Move.
Why release
this? Yeah, why would you release this? Because if they're basically the same game mechanics,
right? It's the same thing. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'll go try it, but this is probably something I'll be like play for a couple minutes and be like, eh, I'm gonna play some Bust a Move now.
Like, I get it.
Yeah, I get it. It's making me uncomfortable now, so because I don't know what's happening. I guess that's going to bring us to the end of the review for tonight. Thank you for filling in for Mr. Derek Diamond.
Of course.
And anything you want to throw out there for the people, where they can find you, what you've been up to?
I mean, really, just follow me at The Real Big Wall on Twitter, The Real Big Wall on Twitch, and Wally is Funny on Facebook. You know, I've just been sick all the time, so I don't have a lot going on, but I do stream nearly every day, Fortnite, with Rampage, with I Am the Rampage. And honestly, when we're together, it's really funny. I really believe that we're one of the more entertaining groups playing the game.
And I'll play with you guys, I promise.
Well, see, I think it'd be even funnier if you show up, you know, because we're just... It's some of the funniest stuff that happens when we're in a game together. And it's we also get frustrated. You'll see us curse and shit like that. But, you know, it's going to be it's like, where did they come from? I shot him with every shot. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you want to see Batman protecting Baby Yoda from a sentient hot dog wearing sunglasses.
Awesome.
And a backward snap back cap. This is the place to do it.
All right then. Well, as far as my stuff goes, go check out the Open Micers podcast, which you can download pretty much anywhere: Overcast, Downcast, iTunes, podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can get this show, and you can get Open Micers. And this week we talked to Kevin Special K Harris from The Sound, at thesound228.com, all about music. And yeah, I know Staff Sergeant Sketch. I've been saying for months I'll be playing with him. And we've already had this discussion numerous times during the show.
Every time I've been on the show over the last 6 months.
Yeah, I know. But go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers on Twitter. And I think that's going to do it for this week. What do you say?
I say that you are correct.
Let's go ahead and get out of here. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/nerdcaveretro, Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro, and individually at jfunktastic, at Derek_diamond, and of course at the real big wall. Go buy some t-shirts over at ncrmerch.com. It's not just t-shirts, you can get mugs, computer bags, pillows, whatever you need. Go over there, ncrmerch.com, and of course, patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Throw us a couple of bucks a month over there, will you? Help keep the lights on here at the show. If you can't do that, can't get a t-shirt, can't support us on Patreon, go leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. So Wally, please, tell them what it's all about.
Live long and smoke meats.
Yes.
Master Blaster runs Bogotown.
You blew it!